Welcome to JerryPark.com, the Coliseum of combat sports.
He is without a doubt the most dominant light heavyweight champion in UFC history, and after a victory over the axe murderer Wanderlei Silva at UFC 79, he has now set his sights on someday recapturing the belt he held for over 2 years. It's a pleasure to finally say, Chuck Liddell, welcome to Jerry Park.
How you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's great to be talking with you. So much to talk to you about regarding your career, especially lately. But before we begin, I wanted to ask you, a couple of years ago, our paths actually crossed. I was producing the Ultimate Fighter 3 pre-show for SpikeTV.com, and I was in charge of actually being the guy to wrangle you from the crowd to get you to do an interview with Laura Diane, the SpikeTV.com correspondent. Brought you in. Everyone's okay. Loving you. Everyone's giving you high fives. And then Tito Ortiz kind of sneaks in front of you, does the interview first. You're waiting there. You're kind of getting pissed off at me, and I wasn't sure what to do. Talk to you, soil myself. I was nervous as hell, but you were a sport about that, and I appreciate it.
No problem.
I'm happy now that you probably don't remember that incident, right?
No, not really. No, it's been a long time.
Okay, cool. So everything's cool between us. All right, so...
Yeah.
Okay, very good to hear. So, lots to talk to you about, and, when we first set up this interview, I was ready to talk to you about Mauricio Shogun Hua, your match, UFC 85 in London, and then we get the news that Hua is now injured, re-injuring his knees, ACL, has to go do surgery again on it. And now you're left with no opponent. So what's the update? Are you going to be fighting in London in June? And do you know against who?
I have no idea. I got the call this morning right before I went to go train. One of those things, I'm going to keep training like I am fighting. And hopefully they come up with something that makes sense.
Are you, in fact, going
to
still
make
be...
sense for the fans.
You're still going to be fighting on that card, right?
That's what I'm assuming. That's how I'm training. I'm training like I am, so I'm assuming they're going to find someone.
And have you heard of any potential opponents? Because, if you look at the light heavyweight division right now, obviously Jackson and Griffin are fighting in July, Machida Ortiz in May, Silva Jardine also in May. I mean, there doesn't really seem to be anyone out there that's of your caliber, your top three fighter, top two fighter for you to face in June.
I haven't thought about it. I'm sure they have. When they called me and told me, it was right when they found out, so they hadn't thought about it either, so they just wanted to let me know that he's out, and really, I haven't heard anything since, so I haven't heard anything yet.
If you had your druthers, if you could pick that one guy, is there a fighter in particular that you would like to face in June?
I'm not sure. I'll see who they come up with. I'll fight anybody, as I always have, so we'll see if they come up with something.
How disappointing is this for you? I mean, Shogun is coming off of that loss to Forrest Griffin, and now you had that big win over Wanderlei. You'd have to think that if you had been Shogun in June in London, you would be right in line for that next title shot. Deep down, I mean, when you first get that phone call, what is the thought that goes through your mind initially?
Well, obviously it's disappointing, that something like that happened. I mean, you don't want something like that to happen, and but there's nothing you can do about it. It's not something, it's far enough out where it's not, I haven't put in, 3 months of training, ready and it's gone. But, I'm just going to keep training and then hope, count on them to find somebody that makes sense that the fans want to see.
The UFC has said that they'll find an opponent shortly for you. Did they give you some sort of timetable? Because, like you said, obviously it's still several months out, but it's always good to know who you'll be facing, especially when it comes to training. Do you expect this to be resolved within the week?
We have plenty of time to find an opponent again and get ready for him. So, we still have 3 months. I mean, technically, my training camp really wouldn't start till the 7th. So, we started a little early because I got guys fighting. My buddy Bud fought... Scott Livey fought on the 29th, and then I got Glover's fighting on the 20th, two of my main training partners, so I've been working with them, so we started training anyway. I've been training anyway, so it's not a big deal.
You'd have to think at least before then. You'll probably find out before the 7th, right?
Well, I'm guessing, but, it's not a, I mean, like I said, we have plenty of time, anytime in the next month they could come up with somebody, that'd be fine. It would be plenty of time.
All right. I'm just a little antsy to find out, that's all. But you're right.
Well, obviously we'd like to see what's going on. Obviously they're going to want to get it out. So, I mean, the tickets went on sale, what, yesterday?
Yeah.
You know, there's a few falls out the day after. So, you know, that's got to be something they want to fix and figure out. So,
all right, so let's clear up this rumor, because when it was first announced that you were going to be fighting in London, there was, especially online, a rumor that you weren't such a big fan of having to fight over there. You like to fight on the West Coast. That's where you're based out of. You've been fighting many fights in Las Vegas and in the California area.
I think that comes – John prefers to fight out here. You to fight out here. I don't care where I fight. I'll fight anywhere in the world.
So you have no beef with the
My trainer prefers to fight on the West Coast. You know, and he prefers to be close to home. And I understand it from his standpoint. But for me, I'll fight anywhere in the world. I don't care where we fight.
You have absolutely no beef with London.
No, no.
All right. We have a lot of listeners in London, and they, I think, felt a little bad about it, the whole situation. But...
No, I have no problem with it. Honestly, it's not that John has a problem with London either. He just doesn't like to travel. You know, he doesn't like to go, you know, anywhere. Much less, he doesn't like to go to Vegas, you know, traveling, you know, it's an hour flight. You know, he doesn't like that very often, you know, so... Didn't like to be that trip very much, so it's one of those things. He doesn't like to get too far out of where he's at. So,
now, have you heard of any news in terms of where this will be shown in the United States? We've heard Spike TV, perhaps pay per view. Anything that you know that we don't on that front?
I don't know yet about that at all. I haven't heard anything other than I was fighting. They asked me if I'd fight in Shogun in London, and I said yes. I mean, that was pretty much. The conversation we had, kind of was like, okay, we'll work everything out after that.
Okay.
You know, it's like, okay, well, everything else will work out later. You know, but will you fight him in London? I said, yeah, no problem.
If you, whoever you face in June in London, if you beat that guy, do you think that you should deserve that shot against the winner of Forrest Rampage?
I definitely think I deserve a shot at Rampage or Forrest, whoever has the title. I deserve the next title shot. I don't see why I wouldn't.
All right. Despite the fact that you lost twice to Rampage, I mean, that was several years ago, that first loss. So you think the third match is warranted?
I think it is. I think people want to see it. People want to watch it. It'll sell. That's what people are worried about. You know? I think I'll beat him. So it's not something that I think the fans won't be disappointed by the fight.
You know, Chuck, this past weekend, Anderson Silva, again, reigning supreme, unifying the Pride and UFC belts. A lot of talk now as to who is the best pound-for-pound fighter. I'd love to get your thoughts on this, because it's strange. You look at everyone's lists, and I know a lot of fighters don't like to put stock into this, but your name is nowhere to be seen on that list. Where would you rank yourself right now? Or, you know, where do you consider yourself? And not exactly in terms of number,
honestly,
but that
I,
list.
I leave ranking and doing that stuff to everybody else. I don't care. I don't care what people think about me or what I do. So if people can keep that ranking stuff, because I leave that to you guys. You guys all figure out where people should rank people. You know, the list for people to, I mean, you know, a lot of the list had Shoji Kuji, who had ranked third in the world at before he got beat by, I think they had a guy in the train that beat knocked him out less than a year before that.
So
I'm not big on lists. So
you don't feel slighted by any of that stuff.
No, I think I love watching Anderson fight. He's a great fighter. I love his style. So comes out there swinging, and then when he gets on the ground, he works his stuff. So he's a fun guy to watch.
Chuck, are you surprised that last week Elite XC, the rival organization to UFC, inked a deal with CBS? Are you surprised that that deal wasn't with the UFC, your organization?
Not really. I mean, the UFC drives a hard bargain for stuff like that. CBS got a good deal with it. You know.
Well, it's all part of the sport exploding, and the main thing with that is, you know, you guys getting all this, you know, exposure now to the public. When you first got into the sport, and even when you enjoyed a little bit of success, did you ever think that one day, you know, your exploits at night and people who you're dating would be reported on sites like TMZ.com, and it would actually be like celebrity news? Is that something that you ever envisioned in terms of how popular the sport would become?
Well, you know, I really hope that never would become something I'd be dealing with, but... You know, it's not a big deal. I mean, I don't I try not to do anything I'm ashamed of. So, it comes with the sport. You know, with the fame of the sport. You know, with the exposure of the sport, that stuff's gonna come. I mean, I just hope it never gets to a point where people, you know, like poor people are following around with camera guys following around their cars and stuff like that. I hope it never gets there. But being a fighter, I don't think it will. So.
Yeah, I think you're in Oakland.
People worry about us a little bit.
Exactly, you know? And I don't think people want to step on your toes too much. But you just came out with a book, and it was highly regarded, and had a lot of success on the New York Times bestseller list. And you're very open with, you know, everything that's happened in your life leading up to this point. Was there anything that you had to sort of bite your tongue and not talk about or write about, or was that really, you know, Chuck Liddell's journey to this point?
Well, that was pretty much. It covered pretty much my journey. Obviously. I try as much as I could keep people out of it that did buy into being in the limelight. You know, I mean, they didn't. You know, I have to be. You know, I didn't want to throw anybody out there that really didn't want to be talked about. You know, so. But for the most part, it covered my life and how I came up. You know, other stories that people might have been interested in, but probably just didn't throw them out there because of, you know, I'm not going to put some of my friends out there.
I'm sure you heard this before. One of the most entertaining excerpts from the book is that the whole scene following the Tito Ortiz victory when Dana White comes into your hotel room, and it's like...
Yeah, it was pretty funny. You know, it's one of those things. We had a conversation about that, whether or not we believe it in or not. You know, and it's kind of, it's not. It's part of who I am, and I don't have a problem with it, so...
So what was the final count, though? How many girls were actually in your room?
Honestly, I don't know. It was an interesting night. Let's put it that way.
Well, you mentioned though that the next morning you were doing an interview talking about the fight while actually having sex. So I got to ask you: are you having sex right now?
No, I'm just wandering around my house because I get bored. I can't sit in one place at one time.
Okay, but was that just a one time thing for you? Because that's pretty. I mean, that's legendary stuff.
No, that wasn't the first time. It probably won't be the last. Wasn't the last. Definitely probably still isn't the last. So depends on when they give me some of these interviews. I mean, you got to understand the timing of them. You know, when they schedule an interview, I think it was at like 8 a.m.
Right.
You know, after a fight, you know, what do you think I'm going to be? If I'm going to answer the phone at 8 a.m. after a fight in Vegas, I'm busy doing something.
Right. And was there ever a point, I didn't ever hear that interview, but was there a point that you were actually close to getting caught, or were you able to keep it all under wraps pretty well?
Well, I think they asked, are you doing something like that? Are you having sex? I'm like, no, not really, no. Just kind of played it off, and they didn't keep pushing it. They were kind of laughing.
You know, Chuck, I'm sure you heard of Will Chamberlain and his exploits outside of the basketball court, very well documented. And if I had to pick one MMA guy that could sort of push that accomplishment of his, the 20,000 girls, it would obviously be you, because we hear so many great stories about you. How close are you actually to challenging Will?
I'm nowhere near that. I'm not after it either. I'm not trying to get there, that's for sure.
No, I mean, because we hear, you know, I'm sure you know of the videos of you online and all that stuff, and it's always with different faces, so one has to, you know, think that you'd be sort of you're a young guy.
I do okay, and I have a lot of fun, so it's okay, though. I've got no desire to get to 20,000, that's for sure.
Is there one person out there that if you can play your cards right that you haven't had the actual chance to hook up with that you'd like to?
Not that I can think of, you know, so.
Any of the famous people out there, you know, the crazy celebrities?
Well, there's quite a few. I mean, if you want to just go through the list of hot girls, I think, you know, as long as I'd have to meet them, as long as they're cool, too, you know.
Number one? There's got to be one girl out there that you're like, damn, you know, if I can get with her, that would be pretty sweet.
Honestly, not really. There's not one single girl like, I got a girlfriend right now, so.
Oh, shoot. I didn't know that. I'm sorry.
No, it's no problem. She understands. She knows how I. Well, not like she doesn't know how I am. She's read my book, too, so.
You're right.
Yeah, she's been around me quite a bit, so.
So, no one, I mean, right now, you're the Iceman is tamed, at least for the time being.
So, yeah, for now, I'm tamed.
All right. Great stuff, Chuck. It's been a pleasure to be talking with you today, really, and thanks for taking the time. And if you do find out about Shogun. I know this is your first foray into Jerry Park, but, you know, after the whole incident a couple of years ago at the Ultimate Fighter, you know, return the favor, come back and let us know. Drop the bomb on us.
All right, okay. I'll find out what I'm doing. I've had a bunch of times with people, I heard you say this guy, is that true? And I said, I don't think so. I haven't heard anything about it. Then I get a call a day or two later from Dana, hey, we had to fight this guy. Oh, okay.
Do you actually go on the internet sites and stuff like that, or is it all just people telling?
My friends talk to me. I stay away from most internet stuff just because most of it annoys me anyway.
What about like those celebrity things? You know, the videos of you and all that. Do you see that stuff? Or?
I'll see some of the people forward it to me. You know, my friends will forward it to me. I'll check it out if they do that.
Who is that guy who took the video of you there? You know which video I'm talking about, right?
Which one?
There's one video of you. I think it's in a nightclub in Las Vegas, and there's two girls on you, and you're.
That was just some random dude. I guess just going by with a camera phone.
Doesn't that piss you off?
You know, honestly, I wasn't doing anything wrong. I didn't have a girlfriend, and I'm dancing with some friends of mine. So, it's kind of, you know, it could be maybe it's a bad situation. It's got people should do that,
right?
But I wasn't doing anything wrong, so there's no reason to get pissed off.
Yesterday I was talking to Andre Arlovsky's girlfriend, the former Playboy cyber girl, Patricia Mikula, and she says that Andre abstains from sexual relations 1 month before a fight. Do you subscribe to that rule?
I have a hard time subscribing to that rule 1 day before a fight.
Really? So you don't believe in that soccer myth? That
no,
you
not at all. I've had sex anywhere up to, like, I think the closest I've gotten to a fight was about 4 or 5 hours before.
Are you really? In the arena, or is this in the hotel?
No, in the hotel.
Really?
Before I went down, yeah.
Which fight was that? Do you remember?
Which fight was that? Babalu, I think.
Because you can sort of see a correlation. Yeah, that was the second Babalu fight?
Yeah.
So you can kind of track this and see that whether or not, you know, the closer to fight, and then compare it to your performance, if it actually helps rather than hurts. Because, I mean, if you look at that fight, great fight for you, so maybe you should even push it a bit further. Like Quentin Rampage Jackson, maybe that was, you know, it's been a week before that one, you know?
You guys are funny.
No.
All right, man.
All right, cool. Well, thanks, Chuck, again, and best of luck to you.
All right, take it easy.